Hello and welcome to The Two Dyspraxics. I'm Matthew Munson.
And I'm Barbara Neal.
So we're into February now at the time of recording. So January is over. So, I managed to work that out all by myself. Now, just recently, or in recent years, January has become synonymous with Veganuary. So have you ever taken part in it, Matthew?
Not fully, I must confess. I'm kind of... No, is a short answer. I know people that have. I know a mutual friend of ours has, good old Tom.
Yeah.
But I never have. I have a complicated history with veganism. You converted me to the cause, and then I kind of sort of slipped back slightly in a weird kind of way for some strange reason from veganism to vegetarianism, and Veganuary would have been a very good opportunity for me to go back to actually something which I don't much care about, which is veganism. But I didn't. I think that was sort of bad planning and just bad organisation on my part, I think, more than any major conspiracy or anything. So no, but I wish I did, is a short answer to the question you asked about a year ago.
It just seems that long, really.
Yeah. Because obviously, there's no point in me asking you that question, because I know technically you did Veganuary only because I know you're vegan.
So I'm already vegan. Yeah, but I did sign up for it this year.
Oh, did you?
I signed up for it. The reason being that there was a downloadable celebrity vegan cookbook, and I thought, yeah, I really would like a copy of that. So I signed up for it, but I've been vegan now for, it'll be 7 years this year in the summer. And but before that, I was vegetarian for 37 years. And going back to 1978, and I decided to take the vegetarian plunge just very shortly before Christmas. So that was pretty hard going.
Wow.
And, it was difficult. And I remember going to my company's Christmas dinner, and I just had... just the vegetables, everything except the turkey and stuff. And so that was a bit grim. It took well.
Just out of interest, you saying that, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. Obviously, you've been a vegan for quite some time. Going out to eat, like in public, how was that for you? Because I remember, I've been a vegetarian since I was 17, so that's, 23 years. I can remember back in the 90s there not being many options for me. If I went out, it was probably jacket potato or a cheese and tomato pizza. Those were my options when I was just a vegetarian in the 90s. I can imagine it must have been the same for you in the 80s, I guess.
Well, in 1978, it was really difficult, incredibly difficult. And I remember... I was with a group of friends, and we went to, it was a burger place in Rochester.
Mm.
And I was so used to saying, can I have the cheeseburger and chips and relish, but without the actual burger? Weird looks, that used to happen a lot. But we went to this particular burger place, and so I asked for my usual cheeseburger with the relish and the chips, but no actual burger, please. And I was ready for a lengthy explanation because I decided to let all my friends order first. And then I said, OK, I'll order last because it gets complicated. And the waiter said to me, are you vegetarian? So I said, yes. I was taken aback because normally I had to explain that part.
Yeah.
Then he said to me, would you like an egg instead of the burger? So I said, no, that's fine, thank you. So he said... is there anything else that you would like in place of the burger? I said, no, it's fine. I was quite happy with melted cheese in a bun and the relish and the chips.
Yeah.
So then when he'd gone, one of my friends said to me, how does it feel to be treated like a customer rather than a problem? And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it is, because I had got used to being treated like a problem when I went out to eat. It was really difficult.
I remember with you... when I came to visit you, actually on more than one occasion, there were two places I used to go with you. I remember once going to the Pizza, Pizza Express?
Yep, Pizza Express.
In the High Street. And I can just remember sitting there going, they've got like two pages of, I mean, I had a vegan pizza or something with you because there are so many options. it was just incredible. And also the actual vegan vegetarian restaurant in, also in the high street, was just phenomenal. And I thought, I have lapsed again now, but I was in the majority. You know, I mean, I still am a vegetarian. I was like, oh my God, these people are all coming here knowing that there's no meat on the menu and they're still flocking here. It was really quite a wonderful experience.
It's incredible. That was the one that you're referring to is 45 Cafe.
It's awful of me. I couldn't remember its name. I was trying to nudge my memory as I was talking. I just went blank.
Well, 45 was absolutely brilliant because they originally were a vegetarian cafe and then went fully vegan.
That's right, because I can remember having something vegetarian there and going back another time and it had gone fully vegan.
Yeah. And it was amazing. I think sadly it was a victim of its own success because it's it closed down in 2015. Oh. But when I joined the Invicta Vegans group because I live in Maidstone, you know, in Kent. So Invicta Vegans cover Kent, obviously. And originally the point of joining it was so that we could go out to eat as a group. Of vegans. There were three places I remember that we could go to. One obviously was 45 Cafe in Maidstone because that was the only vegan cafe in Kent to my knowledge. Another one was a pop-up place in Sittingbourne, so it wasn't permanent and we had to decide in advance of going that we were going to have to eat and so on. And the other one was an Indian restaurant in Gravesend that catered for vegans as well, you know, so it wasn't fully vegan. So that's how it was originally. So now, you know, you go everywhere and you have vegan options.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is so much. I can remember being in that Pizza Express with you and not having to just pick from, I don't know, a mushroom pizza. I can't stand mushrooms. Or that cheese and tomato one, or vegan cheese. You know, which does get a little bit boring after a while, but to have a choice of 6-7 types of pizza, you know, 4-5 different types of pasta, all that you and I could both eat together at the same time, I couldn't get my head around that. It does make sense because, you know, these businesses are going to be catering to an audience that they've been ignoring for so long, and it's good business sense from their point of view. Attract more customers in. It's silly for them not to, I think.
Absolutely. And I think, especially as far as pizzas are concerned, to me, it makes perfect sense to have, you know, most pizza bases are vegan anyway.
Yeah.
So to have that and the tomato and with or without vegan cheese, I used to eat pizzas without cheese at all, you know, because the whole subject of vegan cheese is another complete subject, I think. But to have any choice of topping on top of that just makes absolute sense to me, you know, because you can have such a variation of vegetables, the peppers and mushrooms and olives and spinach. And, you know, there's so many different toppings that you can have as a vegan or a vegetarian. So to me, it makes perfect sense to just have the base available and then choose your toppings to go on top of it. Shouldn't be that difficult, really, should it?
No, it shouldn't. And actually, maybe a related question just that occurred to me as you have said that. How easy do you find, you know, preparing meals at home being vegan? Because then, for better or worse, there's maybe a stereotype that, oh, it takes twice as long to prepare a vegan meal, it takes you forever to, you know, drain out the lentils or whatever it might be. I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean? There's a certain perception that it's going to take me an hour just to get a simple meal ready. To me, it doesn't feel like that's true, but I've got no evidence for it because, I say, I've gone back from vegan to vegetarian at the moment. From your experience, is it hard? Is it easy?
Definitely not hard. It depends what we're having because I do like cooking from scratch. So, but having said that, I'm very, very partial to Co-op Incredible Burgers. They are so good.
Oh,
yeah. So I'm not averse to sort of eating I suppose, less healthily, frankly. And something that Richard, my youngest son, who's been vegan for a year longer than I have, and it's thanks to him that I finally decided to take the plunge. But that's another story as well. But he that nowadays it's becoming, because it's romped on so quickly, it's I think veganism has caught on a much, much faster than vegetarianism did. Yeah. Back in the day. Yeah. So there is much, much more awareness of veganism now. But he said that recently it's become harder and harder to eat healthily as a vegan because there's so much choice. Everyone's coming up with vegan options. So it's just too tempting to try them all out. But, he said to me, he'd been vegan for a year. And so he's been vegan for nearly 8 years. It will be 8 years this year. And he pointed out to me the cruelty in the dairy industry, because my whole reason for becoming vegetarian in the first place was about animal welfare.
Yeah.
I really didn't like the idea of killing animals for food. To me, it made no sense. I could love a cat or a dog, and I couldn't love a pig or a cow or a sheep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That made no sense to me at all. So that was my primary reason for becoming vegetarian. But when Richard pointed out to me about the cruelty in the dairy industry, that was such an eye-opener, and I had no excuse then. I think what tipped the balance, because for a year I gave the excuse of, well, cheese, you know, cheese, and it really was an excuse. So I think the whole thing about vegan cheese, though, it's had a pretty bad press, and to be honest, in my early days as a vegan, there wasn't that much vegan cheese that was particularly nice, and it's come a long way since. I think there's probably still a way to go, so it's not exactly like dairy cheese as I remember it, but I've now discovered vegan camembert, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Wow.
You can buy it in a large branch of Tesco. There's some really nice cheese slices, which they're Mexicana cheese slices, so chilies in them. Absolutely gorgeous on those co-op burgers I was talking about. Delicious. And my mouth's watering now just thinking about it. And Applewood, one of my favourite cheeses, has always been Applewood smoked. And so there's now a vegan version of that, which is perfectly acceptable, really nice. So somebody said to me recently, I can't remember who it was, so apologies to whoever it was for not remembering, but somebody said the way to do it is to go cold turkey, so just give up cheese altogether for a while, then gradually introduce vegan cheeses, and that way you're not too much of a comparison with dairy cheese. So I'd say that's very good advice. I would be inclined to follow that for anybody who wants to.
Well, it's funny, I'm just looking, just as you were talking, I get a food delivery week from Tesco, just because I don't drive, so it's easier to get it delivered. I've just, as you were saying there about the cheeses, I've just gone on to Tesco just to have a look. We're not sponsored by Tesco; it just happens that's who I shop with. I'm just looking there, so I can see the Applewood smoky vegan cheese. There's camembert, like a VioLife original sliced. There's a soft cheese alternative. Like cheese slices. I didn't know this existed. I've got to be honest with you. I knew you had your cheeses. I knew those ones, but I didn't realise there was quite so much.
Yeah, it's getting better. It's getting better all the time.
Oh, my goodness. There's even, and this is bizarre, because I like, you know, the cheese-flavoured balls, like the crisps?
Yeah.
I like them. I've just seen they've got Tesco free from cheese-flavoured balls.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the same price as the the regular ones, like the cheese, the ones with cheese in.
Well, that's another thing, of course, because in some supermarkets, vegan options tend to be more expensive than their sort of non-vegan counterparts. But I have to say, and I do work for the co-op, but their policy was to make sure that vegan options were the same price as the non-vegan options. So that's co-op policy. So you don't have to pay more. So it doesn't cost more to be vegan. Actually, I must say, though, that being vegan isn't just about food. Because anyone can have a plant-based diet, that's fine, but that doesn't necessarily make them vegan. If you're vegan, it means that you're against exploitation of animals in all its forms. So that includes things like, let me think now. I mean, obviously, we're against hunting. That goes without saying. Well,
yes, absolutely.
But, with clothing, I mean, there's no wool. You know, I wouldn't buy woolen products anymore. And things like that, because although the sheep aren't harmed as such, you know, by having by being sheared, they're still effectively being exploited, and they're likely to end up in the slaughterhouse anyway. So that's veganism, is not exploiting animals at all.
Well, it's funny you say that. It's bizarre. I don't mean this in a weird way. I thought of you this morning, Barbara. first thing this morning, after I dropped my lad off to school, I needed to get a new winter coat because my winter coat's just dying a death. So I went into a couple of local shops just nearby in the high street just to have a look. And it caught my eye because they had it felt a bit odd at the start when I looked at it. They had like a vegan-friendly clothing rack.
Brilliant.
It sort of caught my eye. I was like, what is a vegan-friendly rack? And I went over and had a look. I ended up chatting to one of the staff. I said, I don't really understand. Yeah, and she was sort of explaining that, you know, the materials they used for these particular clothes, and there were shirts, there were, you know, trousers, jackets, jumpers, etc., all used cruelty-free methods, like artificial styles of things that didn't involve any animals at all. So should I labelled it as vegan friendly, so that if you've got to follow a vegan diet and a vegan lifestyle, you're kind of drawn to that because then you know that it fits in with your lifestyle, your way of living, I guess. And that was just her marketing technique, and it certainly worked for me because I was immediately attracted, thinking, what is a vegan friendly clothing range? And I ended up buying a jacket which was pretty much the same price as I would have done if you went to, I don't know, Tesco, Asda or Sainsbury's and dispense something from the clothing ranges there. And it was, a vegan-friendly coat.
Right.
Essentially it was cruelty-free. You know, there's no animal involvement in the coat. You know, I must admit, I can't really remember exactly all the details, and I'm kind of struggling to describe it a little bit. She did a very good job of describing it at the time, of which I can remember precisely none of it now, about 4 hours later, which is rather embarrassing. But, you know, it made perfect sense at the time. And so I've got this coat which no animals really used, or there's no cruelty, anything. I was like, wow, this is brilliant. So I felt quite proud leaving that I'd made that contribution. And it's given me a little bit of a more conscious push to consider my clothing choices when I'm buying it. I don't buy many new clothes. I kind of live secondhand a lot of the time. But, you know, if I do buy something new, I will now consider that, I think, a lot more than I did before. Because it is a lifestyle choice, I think.
That's absolutely brilliant, because it is something that I think a lot of people don't consider. And obviously leather is out, you know, for vegans.
Yeah.
But as a vegetarian, I didn't indulge in sort of buying leather clothes and leather clothes, belts, shoes, so on and so forth. So it's that. I mean, as far as possible, because I think personally, I think that we have, as a species, we have exploited animals as a matter of course for such a long time that it's not necessarily possible to be totally vegan. But
I think it's almost become just totally endemic in us. It's so natural that sometimes it's hard to notice it.
Yeah, it's kind of natural, but it's unnatural.
I agree. I don't mean that to condone it. I just mean that sometimes I struggle to notice when I'm getting something that is based on cruelty to animals or whatever, because I'm so indoctrinated into thinking it's quote-unquote normal. I'm not saying it's right that I do that, but it's the truth, you know.
We've been conditioned into accepting certain things, which is why so many people see pigs, sheep, etc., as food, but not cats and dogs.
Yeah,
horrified at the thought of eating a cat or a dog. or a horse, you know, because we've been conditioned into seeing different animals in different ways, which is quite horrifying, really, when you think about it.
Because there was a few years ago, there was a big horse meat scandal, wasn't there? That's
right, yes.
I don't remember all the details, but I'm sure it was here in the UK, I'm sure it was, where there was, you know, horse meat had been found in a factory into the food chain, and people were horrified, rightly horrified about it.
Yeah,
but I do remember thinking at the time, well, in an awful way, why? Because you're willing to eat a cow, you're willing to eat a pig. Why are you horrified about something else that's got four legs?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you shouldn't eat any animal, is my view. But if you're gonna eat one four-legged animal, where's the moral standard in eating one but not the other? Yeah. Who makes that decision?
Yeah, it's a good one, because, I mean, I used to eat meat.
Yeah.
How long ago was it? I was quite young, actually, when I went veggie, and I brought up all three of my sons to be vegetarian until they were about six or seven-ish, old enough to make up their own minds. And so the older two both eat meat. You know, they both decided that was for them. Richard, youngest, did eat meat briefly, but then gave it up again, you know, very soon afterwards. But I'm sort of glad he did, really, because he's never going to think, well, I wonder what it would have been like. He knows, you know, he knows from first.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad about that in a weird way, but I'm more than glad that he is now vegan, you know, and very stringent, very strict. So
I know my son Brian, but when he came home to me when he was eight, he ate meat where he lived before, and when he came to me, he was interested in vegetarianism that I was at the time, and so he became a vegetarian for a while because he was sort of copying me. But then he kind of went back to eating meat after a while, and I've always said I want him to choose. I want him to have that choice.
Yes.
You know, all I can do is show him a variety of nice, delicious vegetarian food, so that he thinks actually, you know, that's his go-to in the future. If he changes his mind, great. You know, but it has to be his choice at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was just wondering, actually, because I remember when you and Richard and I went up to Glasgow. We went up to see Richard Ashcroft.
That's right.
All the way up to Spring, if you ever did. But that was when we went to a couple of vegan restaurants, I think, because there were lots of vegan restaurants in Glasgow. I was really impressed.
Which really surprised me. I wasn't expecting that in a stereotypically awful way. I shouldn't have been, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was very impressive. So I know then you said, right, that's it, now I'm vegan. So I'm interested to know, what was it that made you go back to being vegetarian?
I think, it's difficult to remember, I think. Partly, so it's awful to say because I do recognise the ethical issue. And I'm a vegetarian from an ethical point of view. So I totally recognise I'm partly a hypocrite for this, I am. I think partly it was like similar. So for you, for cheese, it was me and eggs, and that's an awful thing to admit. I kind of went back to eggs. I don't really have any butter. I don't really ever have any cheese. So I don't drink milk. So I'm almost a vegan by default, except for the fact I'm not. Essentially, it's a fairly binary state. You know, you can't be slightly a vegan. I'm not, but I just need to get over this one thing.
You can get
this. I think, if I'm completely honest,
scrambled egg that you like, for example, you can get tofu, and you know, there's various ways around it. I haven't encountered a vegan boiled egg or vegan. Actually, I think you can. I'm pretty sure I've seen them somewhere. But for a vegan fried egg, I haven't encountered anything quite like that. That's not to say it doesn't exist. It's just to say I haven't encountered it.
Well, it's funny. I'm actually looking here. There are vegan egg substitutes.
Yes.
How funny. That is, you can go to Holland & Barrett, Ocado. Oh, my goodness. Oh, even Amazon.
Yeah, it's amazing what's out there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Incidentally, you don't need eggs to make cakes, to make really nice cakes. And I've just had a birthday, and Richard, bless him, went out and bought me a cake. It was a Bosch chocolate, Belgian chocolate raspberry cake. Absolutely gorgeous. So there's still a little bit left to me. But no egg, obviously, because it's vegan. So it's just amazing. You know, I don't feel I'm missing out in any way, shape or form by eating vegan.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just looking while you're saying that, and I am listening, I promise. I've just seen Ogg's Egg Alternative, Aquafaba. Never heard of them before. Amazon, you know, Amazon being Amazon, it's a multinational, but you can get some good stuff on there. This is my new mission. I'm going to order some, and I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what it tastes like.
Go for it. So is that Ogg's the cakes? Because we've got those in our local shop.
Yeah, it's like Ogg replacer, egg replacer.
Oh, right, okay. Because I've had Ogg chocolate cakes and Ogg, they're like mini Victoria sponges. They're really nice too. Ooh. But I'm trying not to overdo the cake. Yeah, for fairly overdue. I lost quite a lot of weight, and now I'm being tempted all over again, you know, cakes and chocolates and stuff.
Yeah.
And, when it's all gone, that's it. You know, I'm going back on straight and narrow. I don't want to undo all the good work I've done.
Yeah, quite. I think that's the same for me. Oh, look. Sorry, I'm still shopping. Vegan easy egg, scrambled egg.
Yeah, there you go. And the thing is, I completely understand where Richard's coming from when he says there's so much temptation out there, because we keep encountering all this new stuff that people are producing that, oh, I've got to try it. And I bought a pancake mix the other day, vegan pancake mix. So I thought, yeah, okay, pancakes for Shrove Tuesday, because I loved pancakes with sugar and lemon juice.
Oh, yeah.
And I love pancakes with maple syrup and vanilla ice cream.
Oh, maple syrup. Gorgeous.
Yeah, lovely. And I also loved, I don't drink alcohol nowadays because I just can't handle it like I used to be able to. But I used to love pancakes with Tia Maria and cream. Oh, but that's... So before I, you know, that's when I wasn't vegan as well, obviously.
Well, I probably shouldn't tell you that the amount of vegan Easter eggs that are on Amazon at the moment is and there's one here that's a vegan milk chocolate bunny comb, they've called it, a honeycomb. Only
$3.96.
Oh, I'll order you one.
I mustn't look.
and do you like dark chocolate?
I do, yes.
Oh, there's little mini eggs, vegan dark chocolate mini eggs, Doisy and Dam good eggs, Easter dark chocolate, vegan.
Oh, no.
Crunchy sugar coating. Oh.
Oh, no. No, I mustn't even think about that, because I've still got Richard also. He's really leading me astray. But he also gave me a box of Booja Booja chocolates. Truffles, and Booja Booja chocolate is just absolutely gorgeous.
Ooh.
Not cheap, but it's lovely chocolate. And Marks and Spencer do a lovely vegan chocolate truffles as well. Oh gosh. So I need to get all of that out of my system. Oh, and Son Number One and his partner gave me a big box of Tiffin, chocolate Tiffin, that's vegan. So, crikey, honestly. And there's me. I've lost a fair amount of weight. You know, I wanted to keep it that way. So I'm really going to have to work on that again, I think.
You got to treat yourself, though, as well, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
now and again.
Vegan dark chocolate with peanut butter truffle bites.
Oh, don't tell me anymore, because it's really bad. It's really bad news. I'm
respect. I'm clicking off the page. That's it. I've clicked off now. I can't. I'm not looking anymore.
Okay, well, that's just as well, because you realise that we've actually been going on about being vegan for half an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's gone very quickly. As soon as we start talking about food, that's it. And we barely scrape the surface, honestly.
We could do easily another about two episodes just on this subject.
Well, I think we probably should, actually.
I think we should. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, and concentrate mainly on food, because I know we're both very partial to good food.
Oh, yeah.
So on that very happy note for the time being, just drooling over the thought of all that chocolate. And until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from us.
So take care, folks. See you soon.
Bye.